Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's your last day with David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. 406-294-0970. Open phones all show long. Plus, of course, we're going to have John Jackson in the house starting at 8 o'clock. But between now and then, it's just me and you and open phones. I kind of want to do a full-blown Medicaid expansion show here during the 6 o'clock hour, maybe bleed into the 7 o'clock hour, simply because this is one of the most important issues coming up. This is going to be a hot-button issue in the 2025 legislature. I watched an extensive interview last night with the CEO of the Paragon Health Institute, one of these conservative health think tanks, talking about really how bad of an idea Medicaid expansion is, both if you're concerned at the federal level and at the state level. It's a bad idea. Kind of what triggered this was the Montana Free Press article talking about how one of the Montana Senate leaders, Senator Fitzpatrick, says there's no avoiding the rough politics ahead for this Medicaid expansion debate that's coming up in the Montana legislature. And I want to give everybody the tools and the arguments and the data and the information that we're all going to need to defeat Medicaid expansion in 2025. Montana Free Press reports that Montana's Medicaid expansion program will sunset in 2025. Barring its renewal before the Montana legislature. Senator Steve Fitzpatrick, Republican majority leader, said Medicaid will get caught up among other politicized topics that will coalesce next year. Senator Fitzpatrick says it's going to be hot and controversial. This is going to be a hot and controversial session. This is going to be a rough session. Fitzpatrick was speaking at the University of Montana, I think on Friday of last week. The panel topic was where Montana Medicaid goes from here. Montana legislators first passed Medicaid expansion in 2015, renewed it in 2019 by a slim margin after a tough debate. And folks, when you actually start getting into the details of this stuff, there really is no good reason to expand Medicaid, especially now that Joe Biden and the Democrats expanded the subsidies under Obamacare's private health insurance marketplace to where now anybody in Montana who earns less than 150% of the poverty level can get free health insurance, 100% private health insurance paid for by the taxpayer, fully subsidized, 100% subsidized. That's what the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act, which is obviously Orwellian named opposite of what it actually did, but the IRA that, of course, Tester supported, Biden supported, that actually increased the subsidies under Obamacare so much that now anybody under 150% of the poverty line gets free taxpayer-funded private health insurance through the private health. And so I'm sitting there wondering, wait, why do you have to expand Medicaid to able-bodied working-age populations, which then, by the way, reduces resources available to the core Medicaid population of low-income disabled folks? Why do that when you can just get free health insurance on the Obamacare marketplace? I got more to talk about this. We'll be right back.
Securing America.
13 U.S. soldiers killed in a suicide bombing outside Kabul International Airport at Abbey Gate 3 years ago will be honored as their families receive congressional gold medals in their names. The Congressional Gold Medal, one of the oldest and highest civilian awards in the U.S., bestowed by a vote of Congress to give the highest expression of national appreciation for distinguished achievements and contributions to our nation. A ceremony today that follows a GOP House report into the Afghanistan withdrawal that places much of the blame for the deaths of 13 U.S. service members and dozens of others, and leaving $7 billion in U.S. weapons, equipment, and technology behind. On the Biden administration, as Democrats criticize the report, laying the blame on the Trump administration, even though the withdrawal happened over 7 months after President Trump left office. Jeff Manasseh, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some areas of smoke and haze today, high temperature readings will stay in the mid and upper 80s. Tonight, skies stay clear with some areas of smoke as well, as temperatures will drop back off in the lower to middle 50s. And the outlook for Wednesday calls for developing showers and storms mainly in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, if you... Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable. Yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website. Go download the Montana Talks app, because we're going to deliver the stories they refuse to tell. MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We're doing Medicaid expansion hour here on Montana Talks. I've got a whole bunch of arguments, a whole bunch of data. There is no good reason to expand Medicaid in Montana. All of the reasons fall apart under scrutiny. There's lots of reasons not to. I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty details. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Good morning, David. You've done a great job, as always, on Montana Talks. We really enjoy having you on to replace Aaron Flint when he has, better things to do, private things, you know, enjoying family life. But I want to say a couple of things this morning. I think we should start out with the word of the day, which is recession. Obviously, we're dipping into a recession. The jobs reports came out a couple of days ago, and they are not good. They've been lying to us about job increases in that country, and the word has it that we're sliding into a recession. As far as I'm concerned, we've already been in a recession with the inflation. But getting to your Medicaid expansion, no, we don't need Medicare expansion, for the simple reason... Everything is working well as it is. But I'm going to tell you, this is going to tie in with this gruesome story out of Springfield, Ohio. 20,000 illegal Haitians were flown into Springfield, Ohio. And they are illiterate. They are cannibals. They are stealing family pets. They are invading our the parks in the area and killing waterfowl. And just destroying Springfield, Ohio, which is a beautiful, beautiful Midwestern city. Now, the kicker here is that HIV, AIDS, which started in 1983 as an epidemic in the United States because Haitian immigrants, illegal, brought AIDS into our country. And there's an increase now in Springfield, Ohio with HIV. Because, you know, homosexuality is just a part of the life on the island of Haiti. And so if we Medicaid expansion, that means that these people will be covered under that. And, my God, you could live for 10 or 15 years having AIDS. And it's an expensive treatment, you know. But that's just an example right there. So I don't know if you want to just... have normalcy in the United States, you cannot vote for Harris. The answer is very simple. You can't vote for Harris and have a normal society. It'll just destroy us all the way around, including our medical field and practices here.
Yeah, no, the Democrats have done everything they can already to destroy our healthcare system. It's already on the downtrend. Nancy, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it. I want to talk about this Medicaid expansion thing, because apparently this is going to be a huge issue. And so again, Montana has passed Medicaid expansion. There's over 100,000 people in Montana on Medicaid. There's something like 80 million Americans on Medicaid. It's one of the programs that's driving our federal debt and our federal deficit. There's a massive amount of waste and fraud and what they call improper payments under Medicaid. I'm talking like one in five of every dollar, 20% of all of the spending under Medicaid is actually improper payments. And so So here's the deal. So I actually did a significant amount of research, and here's really some of the facts and the data about why we cannot expand Medicaid in the 2025 legislative session here in Montana. Number one, it's expensive, and we can't afford it. We don't have any money. We're broke, and we need to lower taxes. And so at the federal level, and this, of course, the federal government says, oh, we're going to pay 90%. We're going to pay 90% of Medicaid expansion. And so it becomes very difficult to argue against Medicaid expansion because, hey, we're in Montana. The federal government's going to pick up 90% of this. So that's basically free money. No, it's not. Medicaid is driving the deficit and the debt, which is causing all of this inflation. And so you may think, oh, we'll expand Medicaid here in Montana. The federal government will pay 90%. No, we are all paying for it. Every time we go to the gas station, every time we go to the grocery store, we're the ones paying for Medicaid expansion, not 90% from the federal government. No, me and you are, through inflation. That's a tax. So number one, we don't have it. And then even the 10% portion that Montana has to pay. No, I'm not willing to pay 10% to expand Medicaid to give taxpayer-funded health care and health insurance to working-age, able-bodied people. Now, remember, Medicaid is designed to provide health insurance and health care for low-income people and disabled people, okay? And they already have it. They already have Medicaid. The expansion is expanding Medicaid from beyond the low-income and the disabled into the bigger population that would include working age, able-bodied people. And that's one of the reasons against it is because actually expanding Medicaid, it actually takes away healthcare resources from the core Medicaid population of low income and disabled. And here's why. Because a lot of healthcare providers do not accept Medicaid patients because Medicaid reimbursement rates are so low. And so you've got all these healthcare providers out there, doctors, you know, nurse practitioners, et cetera, that will not take Medicaid patients. And so if you take Medicaid right now, Montana Medicaid, that's covering low income and disabled people, and there's only a set number of doctors, and all of a sudden you add in a whole bunch of working age, able-bodied people onto Medicaid, and there's still the same number of healthcare providers. Now, those low-income disabled folks that were on Medicaid before, now they have to wait longer to get services because they're competing with the expanded Medicaid population, which is working-age, able-bodied folks. So I got a bunch more reasons that we cannot expand Medicaid. We'll be right back.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, hey, this week, hundreds of Farmers Union members are back in Washington, D.C. for the National Farmers Union's legislative fly-in. Now, in addition to passing a new farm bill, addressing consolidation in the ag industry is another top priority. Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer says Federal Trade Commission Chair Lena Khan is in their corner when it comes to important issues like right to repair.
You know, she's making some real headway taking on the corporate monopolies and their anti-competitive practices. And she gets the problems that we have with right to repair. No doubt about it. She understands the issue inside and out, clearly is drafting some rules that's going to have a real impact on that issue.
And he says that Farmers Union members appreciate the effort that the Biden-Harris administration is making in addressing corporate monopolies and their effect on family farmers and ranchers, including the Department of Justice.
You do know they opened up a new office in Chicago to just address the anti-competitive practices of agricultural corporations. They put it out in Chicago so that they could have boots in the ground in the areas that it's happening. And they hired a bunch more attorneys. So we've got some good things going on to address these anti-competitive practices.
Now, the National Farmers Union believes decades of consolidation in the ag industry has devastated family agriculture. And through its Fairness for Farmers campaign, NFU remains committed, though, to advocating for fair agriculture markets and more. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Attention sheep producers, it's time for the Montana Wool Growers Association's annual Montana Ram and Ewe Sale. As always, taking place at the Eastern Montana Fairgrounds in Miles City. Wednesday, September 11th kicks off at 1 with an MSU Extension program, including opportunities and challenges for U.S. grown and sewn wool and natural fiber clothing. Ewe Sale starts at 6 p.m. And Thursday, September 12th, it's the Ram Sale at high noon. Remember, you can also view and bid online at FrontierLiveSale.com.
Thank you, Senators Tester, Thune, Rounds, Hoven, and Loomis, for working across the aisle to sponsor mandatory country of origin labeling bill in Congress. Consumers deserve the right to know where their beef was born, raised, and processed. Mandatory country of origin labeling is a Farmers Union's Fairness for Farmer priority for both ranchers and families.
Well, in some regional news this morning, it looks like routine brucellosis surveillance testing has identified a brucellosis-affected cattle herd in Park County, Wyoming. They say the affected herd was quarantined following confirmation of test results and that no contact herd quarantines are anticipated. The affected herd will undergo serial testing to meet the conditions of quarantine release. And finally this morning, the Colorado Department of Agriculture's new Division of Animal Welfare is seeking input from people with expertise on horse, donkey, and mule welfare to help shape the new equine welfare assistance grant program. Stakeholders can provide comments by taking a brief survey to help inform how to develop the program, which will award a total of $200,000 to projects that promote the well-being of Colorado's domestic equines. The survey closes on September 18th. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We're doing a Medicaid expansion hour here on the show just because this is going to be a major issue in the 2025 legislative session, and I think this is probably my last chance to have the show to myself here for the full show before Aaron comes back and takes over the airwaves tomorrow. And so I wanted to get deep into this issue on this hour and maybe into the 7 o'clock hour so that we've got the information out there, that folks have it. I'm going to be making a YouTube video about this, about the constitutional initiatives, why everybody should vote no on that. And we've got to do a full court press here to try to prevent Medicaid expansion and all of the downsides that come with that. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, David. So, you know, you can't turn on a screen lately without seeing a John Tester ad. And one of the ones that really gets me is, you know, they get the elderly ladies that are talking about the rural hospitals and how we rely on those in Montana, and we absolutely do. But boy, let's talk about who was shutting down rural hospitals during COVID because they wanted everybody to get a jab that was an experimental jab that was not authorized because there were alternative treatments, but our government lied to us. John Tester rubber stamped that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
It wasn't Tim Sheehy who was saying you can't come to work if you don't get this. You can't care for people. You can't do your job if you don't take this experimental jab. And, you know, so I think that Tim Sheehy ought to hit back on him pretty hard on that and say, you know, you were part of the administration that was shutting down rural hospitals, rural care facilities, rural retirement homes.
Right, because in those rural hospitals, of course, the doctors and the nurses are rural Montanans, and they don't want the COVID-19 right. vaccine. And so then the rural hospital employees, the doctors and the nurses, went to the rural hospital and said, "Hey, if you force me to try to get a COVID-19 vaccine, I'm going to quit." And then the hospitals went to the government and John Tester and said, "Hey, all of our employees are going to quit if you mandate this vaccine, and we're going to shut down." And John Tester was like, "Yeah, we don't care."
Yeah, they didn't care. Just get the jab, shut up, and don't question anything. And I should be dead by now. Just ask any mandatory vaccine proponent. I should be dead. I never got it. You know, thank God for the science, you know, the science with a dollar sign for the S under Anthony Fauci. Another thing that I think is completely disingenuous, and it's one of the initiatives, is the pro-abortion initiative. When they're talking about women who have miscarriages or the baby dies of natural causes while in the womb, and they talk about how they wouldn't be able to deliver that baby if they can't have an abortion. That is not an abortion. That is
correct.
No pro-life person in the world would ever say you can't.
Correct. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Tim, sorry I had to cut you off there for the news break there. What were you saying?
That's right. Well, no pro-life person in the world is going to say that a woman shouldn't be able to receive medical treatment to help deliver her deceased baby that died of some complications or natural causes in the womb. That's never been a platform of anybody that's pro-life.
Right.
And for them to say that this would be disallowed, you know, because abortion is restricted or banned or whatever may happen, it's just completely disingenuous. And the people that buy this garbage, you know, they ought to try opening a book and maybe a dictionary and just look up what these terms are. I mean, give me a break.
Well said, Tim. As always, Tim, spot on. Democrats have to lie about that stuff because obviously that's what all they've got. Right? I mean, we have basically unlimited abortions in this state. And John Tester's over there having, you know, rallies with Planned Parenthood in Bozeman. That's the only time Tester comes out of the basement is to have an abortion rally when we've already got unlimited abortions here. Pretty weird, weird stuff, if you ask me. So let me get back to this Medicaid thing, because this is going to be a hot-button issue in the 2025 legislature, and there's going to be a lot of misinformation out there. And frankly, I didn't have all of the information or the data to talk about this yesterday, even though I had this story yesterday. I had to take the time last night to do the research to figure out the arguments against this Medicaid expansion, because let's be honest, the Democrats have overcomplicated our health care and our health insurance systems so much that it is now this gargantuan mess to even try to understand. Nobody understands health insurance. Nobody understands these entitlement programs. And why on earth do we have an Obamacare health care marketplace where if you're under 150% of the poverty line, you get free 100% paid for by the taxpayer health care, quote unquote free? No, it's paid for by me and you. Anybody under 150% of the poverty line can go on and get taxpayer paid for health care on the Obamacare marketplace, because the Inflation Reduction Act under Tester Biden-Harris regime massively increased those subsidies. So why do we need Medicaid? It really raises the question. Senator Steve Fitzpatrick recently said the Medicaid renewal might pass by a slim margin in the Senate, but he pointed to the convergence of multiple issues leading into the 2025 session that underpin his prediction of difficult negotiations. In addition to Medicaid, legislators are also looking to address property tax laws, housing, and child care, with multiple headlining policies in the works bargaining. So we've got a deal. We've got a deal with all of those other issues, property taxes, housing, and health care. And at the same time, we're going to instead not reduce property taxes or not spend on housing and childcare, because instead we're going to think about having us pay for Medicaid for working age, able-bodied people at the same time when the actual people that Medicaid is designed for, low income and disabled, are having resources taken away from them? How about no?
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Lake County authorities waiting for autopsy results from the state crime lab as they prepare a murder case against a 70-year-old man implicated in the disappearance of a Ronan man last week. Lake County Sheriff's Office recovered the body of 67-year-old Ed Loader Friday from the Twin Lakes area in the Mission Valley, southeast of St. Ignatius. The suspect, who authorities say is cooperating with the investigation, is in custody on charges of homicide and tampering with evidence. There's even more jail time now for a man accused of making deadly threats against schools in Helena. Jason Laird reports.
The man found guilty of threatening Helena public schools is headed to jail. Logan Pallister was sentenced last week to 60 years behind bars at the Montana State Prison on charges of intimidation, sexual abuse of children, and more. Pallister was arrested 2 years ago after a tip from a co-worker that said he was in possession of dangerous weapons, including bombs. The co-worker also told police that Pallister wanted to commit a, quote, Columbine-style, end quote, attack at the city high school. Pallister was also sentenced to more than 7 years by a federal court. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
Air quality continues to be the worst we've seen this fire season across half of the state, with Montana DEQ posting air quality alerts for a broad region from Thompson Falls to Great Falls, the Missoula and Bitterroot Valleys, and east to Helena and Butte. Fires burning in the southern Bitterroot and in Idaho continue to be very active Monday, generating huge quantities of smoke and driving air quality to unhealthy and even very unhealthy levels. At those levels, people are advised to remain indoors and avoid physical exertion if possible. However, the forecast is still offering relief with cooler, wetter weather and even some higher elevation snow by the second half of the week. And Missoula leaders say contractors have begun chipping operations to finally dispose of the tons of debris left from the July thunderstorm. Authorities say they don't have a clear estimate on how many trees and limbs are being processed, but should have a better idea when the chipping operations are complete. This is the Montana State News Network.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Fantastic message from Morgan in Helena about Medicaid expansion. Morgan in Helena says Medicaid expansion was rejected by the voters of Montana and then overruled by the Montana legislature. And that's exactly right. It was Montana I-185. Extend Medicaid expansion, 2018 election results. Montana voters voted 53% no. We do not want to expand Medicaid. And guess what? The legislature came in and did it anyway. And so now we've got in 2020. This is frankly why the state legislature races are so important, and the primaries in the state legislature, and getting these conservatives across the finish line here in November in the state legislature is so important, is because Medicaid expansion is not a small dollar issue. This is one of the biggest drivers of inflation and the federal debt. And so let me just run through some reasons here. All right, I got some reasons here. Why Montana should not expand Medicaid in the 2025 session, okay? Number one, it's expensive. It's extremely expensive, and the federal government can't afford it. The federal government's broke, and neither can the state government. We don't have all of this. In fact, we need to focus on lowering taxes here in Montana. We need to focus on property taxes. We need to focus on child care and housing, and we need to focus on basically giving the people of Montana that money back. And so the federal government can't afford it. The state can't afford it. It's driving inflation. It's causing all of us to have increased inflation. So that's the first reason. No on Medicaid expansion because it's expensive. The federal government can't afford it. The state can't afford it. It causes inflation when you do it through deficit debt spending, which is what it's being funded through right now. And so why should we expand something that's already funded with nothing but debt and is causing inflation? No, thank you. Second of all, the costs on Montana have been way, way higher than anticipated, and it will continue to be way higher than anticipated. They'll tell you, oh, the federal government's picking up 90% of this. Montana only has to pay 10%. 10% is estimated to be this amount, and then their estimates are way low. So, again, can't afford it. Here's the bigger issue, too. Like, if you actually care about getting health care services to low-income people in Montana and disabled folks in Montana, then you should be against Medicaid expansion. You should be against Medicaid expansion because the Medicaid already covers low-income people and disabled people. Okay, we already have 100% taxpayer-funded Medicaid. Medicare is for elderly folks. Medicaid is for low-income or disabled people, at least originally as designed. If you expand Medicaid, you then expand coverage for Medicaid beyond just the low-income and the disabled, and you start expanding into the working-age population who are able-bodied working-age people in Montana. And those people then start using the healthcare providers that accept Medicaid, which is not all healthcare providers in the state. And so now you're taking basically all of these people and adding them into the demand for healthcare services. You're not increasing the supply of healthcare providers, doctors and nurses and PAs and et cetera, who will actually provide services to Medicaid. So what that does is that actually takes away healthcare resources from low-income and disabled people, because now those low-income and disabled people are having to compete with all of the Medicaid expansion population, which is working-age, able-bodied people. Now the low-income and disabled folks are having to compete with these able-bodied, working-age people for the healthcare services that are provided by healthcare providers that accept Medicaid recipients. So it literally is hurting the very people Medicaid is designed to help. So that's a bad idea. Here's another reason why we should not expand Medicaid in Montana. It's basically a welfare program for able-bodied working age people. Okay, Medicaid expansion is not to expand it to cover people with disabilities who are unable to work. That's not what this is about. Those folks are already covered by taxpayer-funded Medicaid, period. They get all of their health insurance paid for by the taxpayer already. We don't need to expand Medicaid to provide taxpayer-funded health care for low-income and disabled people. They already have it. What Medicaid expansion is basically welfare for able-bodied working-age Montanans. There's another reason to vote to not expand Medicaid. Here's a bigger issue, right? And this is more philosophical. But why would you expand Medicaid when that does nothing to address the fundamental problems in our healthcare system? We've got major, major fundamental problems in our healthcare and our health insurance system with the fact that it's now over $24,000 a year for a family health insurance plan is outrageous. The fact that it costs as much as it does to get health care in this country is absurd. How much money the federal government is spending on health-related issues, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, DPHHS, you name it, is outrageous. And then our health outcomes are not even that great. It's like, yeah, we've got some highlights in the American healthcare system. Our cancer survival rates are the highest in the world. Our cardiac care is the best in the world. But when it comes to sort of overall health outcomes, we're not even getting that great of health outcomes. And so, anyway, here's the other really, I couldn't believe this when I heard. We've got like this dual bureaucracy, dual disaster going at the federal level, where you've got the Obamacare healthcare marketplace, quote unquote, Obamacare. You've got Obamacare, which is this huge, complex, regulated bureaucracy marketplace where you've got all of these different subsidies and all these different taxes. And what happened was, and again, this is why I had to do my research on this issue, and this is why I want to make this so important, because folks don't know about this. I didn't know about this until last night. Okay, one of the things that Tester passed in the IRA, the Inflation Increase Act, the Increase Inflation Act that Tester and Biden and Harris supported and passed, that bill massively increased the subsidies under Obamacare. Massively increased the subsidies under Obamacare. So much so that now, if your income is less than 150% of the poverty line, you can go on to Obamacare, healthcare.gov or whatever it is, and you can apply for a health insurance policy. And because of the way Obamacare works and because of the massive subsidies that Tester put in place, you can get 100% taxpayer-funded private health insurance. Now, you go on Obamacare website, and there's a whole bunch of different, you know, policies. You got, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana. You got Mountain Health Co-op. You've got, you know, a number of these other health insurance providers on the marketplace. And of course, you know, when I go on there, they tell me, oh, you're not eligible for any subsidies. You have to pay full freight on these health insurance policies. Well, if you're under 150% of the poverty line and you go on the healthcare.gov Obamacare marketplace and you apply for a policy and you're under 150% of the poverty line, you get it for free. Free for you. We're all paying for it through inflation and our taxes. So in other words, there is no coverage gap anymore, right? Because Medicaid expansion was supposed to cover people between 100 and 138% of the poverty line. Okay, and that was the alleged quote-unquote coverage gap that they needed for Medicaid expansion, was these folks that are above the poverty line, but still not making really enough to be able to afford the outrageous prices of our health insurance in this country that is caused by the Democrat intervention in the healthcare industry, started in the 1960s by President Lyndon B. Johnson, Democrat, and created these Medicare and Medicaid programs and started the federal government's intervention and regulation of healthcare and health insurance in this country. But that no longer exists because of the massive increase in subsidies under Obamacare. So now, why would we expand Medicaid, harm the very people that Medicaid is supposed to help, massively increase the debt and the deficit and inflation, provide basically welfare for working age, able-bodied people, doesn't even address the fundamental problems that are driving all these issues in our healthcare system? And then on top of that, there's no even need for it, because if you're actually under 150, there's no coverage gap. So you can either get Medicaid or you can get free health insurance on Obamacare. Like, why? Why would we have two exact same systems, both providing 100% taxpayer-funded health insurance and health care? That's what we have at the federal government level. We have two dual track, identical, they're not identical, they're wildly different, but they basically do the identical thing in terms of providing taxpayer funded health insurance and health care to people. It's absurd.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, she said day one, we're going to fight inflation and immigration. Day one was January 20th, 2021. What do you mean on day one? And then for 3 years, she lied about inflation, that it was transitory, lied about immigration, said the border was secure, and said, well, we haven't been to the border, called out by Lester Holt. Well, I haven't been to Europe either. She's now on record saying she will raise the corporate taxes, small business taxes, put in a wealth tax and a state tax, capital gains taxes to unprecedented rates that'll destroy investment in this country. Even Mark Cuban recognizes that, unrealized capital gains. That would be a depression for this country.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called Goldco the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
www.morejobslessgov.com. Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Noble with a K. I'm an attorney in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan. Got some messages here I want to get through, but let me just please allow me to finish up my little Medicaid rant here, because I want to get through a couple more of my arguments. So again, it's totally unnecessary because Obamacare, with the increased subsidies, already provides taxpayer-funded health insurance to anybody under 150% of the poverty line, thus eliminating the alleged coverage gap that generated the need for Medicaid expansion in the first place, results in taking resources from the Medicaid population of low-income and disabled folks, and instead gives those resources to working-age, able-bodied people. Huge amounts of fraud and waste in the Medicaid program. At the national level, national studies show about 20% of all Medicaid spending is basically wasted and fraudulent. Here's the crazy thing, too, is there was under the COVID-19 health emergency, there was rules that prevented states from redetermining COVID or Medicaid eligibility. And so what you had was, over those years, you basically had tons of people that were on Medicaid that ended up getting a job and getting employer private health insurance from their job. And then they continued to be on Medicaid. And you might think, oh, that doesn't cost us anything because they're not actually using the Medicaid. No, it does. And the government is continuing to pay health insurance, managed care companies, and all these other weird things for all of those people that were totally ineligible, which is why it was so wonderful when Gianforte did the Medicaid redetermination and basically found all of these Montanans that were no longer eligible for Medicaid and removed them from the Medicaid rolls. And the media and the Democrats said that was some horrible, bad thing. It's like, no, this was absolutely a wonderful thing. Number one, it's we don't want to waste money, and there's massive waste in Medicaid. Why would we expand a program that has 20% waste? You're talking hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of waste. Why would you expand a program like that? Okay, here's the other thing. This is literally a failed, insolvent Democrat program. Medicaid is going broke. This was a program started by a Democrat president in the 60s, President Lyndon B. Johnson. Okay, why would Montana in 2024 expand on a bankrupt, insolvent, and failed Democrat program? Makes no sense to me. It is a terrible, terrible program. It's straight up a failed program. Why expand a failed program? I actually asked Google AI, what are the benefits of Medicaid expansion? Google AI came up with, hey, here's why you might want to expand Medicaid. It increases the profits of hospitals. That was the only thing that that Google AI could come up with. Oh, here's the big benefit. It increases hospital profits. Absolutely ridiculous reasoning as far as I'm concerned. Here's the other thing. If folks have – so we've got this ridiculous dual-track, dual-healthcare system because you got Obamacare where low-income folks can go get, you know, taxpayer-paid-for health insurance. And you got Medicaid where low-income folks can get taxpayer-funded healthcare and health insurance. And so, but here's the deal, okay? You actually have access to better providers under a private health insurance plan from Obamacare than you do under Medicaid, because again, not all healthcare providers accept Medicaid. And so if we're going to expand anything, why would we expand the program that gives people less healthcare provider access? There's more providers available to people if you have an Obamacare plan. Medicaid recipients are actually more likely to die than private health insurance, according to one study. There's a couple other reasons. We're out of time. That'll conclude the Medicaid hour. I've got a couple other points on it, but maybe we'll talk about those next hour. But thanks for listening to my Medicaid rant, folks. That's going to be a big deal here in the 2025 legislative session. I'm going to stay on that issue, and I'll be right back.